A baby changes everything. That's what I'm going to talk about for a few minutes this morning. So let's go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, starting at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. When you find it, say amen. And the word of God says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?'" That's a good question, isn't it? "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Let's go to Romans. Keep your place in that story because we're going to go back to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5:17. "For if by one man's offense death reign through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness." Everybody say the gift of righteousness. "Will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." A baby changes everything. That's a good statement, but I have a question. Has the baby changed anything for you? If you're around me long enough, you know I bring everything right down where you live in. A baby changes everything. That the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord changed absolutely everything. And all of history has to accept that everything changed because of the birth of Jesus Christ. All of history is recorded before Christ, before his birth, and AD, a Latin term that means the year of our Lord. And so everything's recorded before his birth and after his birth because everything changed when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And it's funny to me how everything can change in theory, yet nothing can change for you at the same time. Like, for example, the economy. When the economy changes, it changes everything for some people. Some people, when the economy is bad, are poor. And some people, if it shifts and becomes good, they're still poor. Some of y'all are poor, so you're mad at me for that statement, I see. Some people are rich when the economy is bad. And when it's good, they're still rich. And so, though everything changed For them personally, nothing changed. You can have a Republican in office, and some people think if you put a Democrat in office or a Republican in office, it's going to change everything. In some ways it does, but for some people it's the same old, nothing ever changed. All you got to do is ask you about your own life and ask how much has your life really changed when it came to Clinton or Bush or Obama. But for some of you old enough, Kennedy. How much really changed for you? Because, see, days like today, the traditional days, these days are not my forte. Because we can get all caught up in the tradition of a thing and never ask ourselves the question of the relevance of the thing. And so Christmas is one of those times where we get all caught up in all of the things about Christmas, but then do we ever ask ourselves, is Christmas affected my life at all? And so when we see that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed everything, what you got to ask yourself is, why haven't you accessed that change? And why is it day after day and year after year and month after month? I know some of you frustrated because I'm going to talk about Jesus. It's for your Christmas. But then the question always has to be for me is, if this is such an incredible event that we're going to talk about every year, we're going to sing songs about every year, and we're going to do plays about it every year, and then people are going to preach about it every year, the question has to be, is anything changing because the baby was born? Because is there really any difference in Christmas or Easter or Good Friday, because they all flow together? Because if the baby was born and didn't grow up and die and rise again, then his birth didn't mean nothing anyhow. And so just being excited about the birth of the child means nothing if you don't incorporate what that means in your life. And so I like how in John 3:16, how it says, so for God so loved the world. So we know that God was motivated by his own love. And it says that he gave his only begotten son. Now notice that the Bible doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave us the Christian religion. And whosoever is a good little Christian shall have everlasting life. It says that he gave his son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. And so too often what you got is a religion called Christianity, but you're not accessing the son, because God never sent you a religion to follow so that you would have options between Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and any other kind of ism. He gave you a person. And a person suggests he gave you a relationship. And through that relationship, everything can change. But if all you do is practice Christianity, nothing changes. Except in public, when you're in front of everybody. But your life really doesn't change until you access the relationship that God has given you through the baby. That changed everything. We've reduced that down to jokes, Ricky Bobby in the movie about baby Jesus and praying to baby Jesus and so on and so forth, because we have trivialized the birth of Jesus Christ down to the place that it doesn't really affect us at all. And I believe that God wants us to be affected by what he has done. So I asked myself some questions. Which about gifts, because it's about gift giving and receiving gifts and all that kind of stuff during Christmas. And then I asked myself, then what really is the point of a gift? What makes a gift significant? And when you think about it, it's a process. It's not just about the person who gave the gift. Because if I go out and I spend all the money I got to get my loved one a gift, and I worked overtime to do it, and I sold some of the things that I have to do it. I did everything I could to finally purchase something, and then I give it to my loved one, and then her reaction when she opens it is, oh, okay. And she slides it over and starts tearing into the other gifts with joy. Now, even though that gift could have cost me $100,000, because it had no value to her, it didn't affect her life, not one iota. And we have to remember that Jesus is a gift from God. For Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We read in Scripture that righteousness is a gift. That word righteousness means right standing with God. And so God gives you a gift through Jesus Christ that you can have right standing with Him. You and God can be cool. You and God had irreconcilable differences until the baby was born. Until the baby was born, you were estranged from God. But through the relationship with Jesus Christ, you can now call yourself righteous. Not because you act righteous, not because you crossing all your T's and dotting all your I's, but you are righteous because righteousness is a gift from God. So the baby changes everything because the gift within him is righteousness. Now, I know some of you think that you earned your righteousness because you have been such a good Christian since you were 8. But the truth told, we know you ain't been so good all the time. And so you needed a gift from God called righteousness. I think because of Santa Claus, we get confused. Because even it's when I was, for the first time after all these years, I hear that song about Santa Claus is coming to town, especially the cool version by Michael Jackson. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus. Coming to town. But then he say he knows when you are sleeping. And he knows when you are awake. That's kind of creepy. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good. For goodness sake, he's checking his list. But not only that, he's checking it twice. He's trying to find out who's naughty and who's nice. And if you're naughty, you're not getting jack. And even if you was good and you messed around and stayed awake when Rudolph hit the roof of your house and you seen Santa, we act like that's a good thing when we was a kid, but he says he find out you awake, your mama and daddy told you gonna put coal in your stocking. So we grow up with a mentality, if I'm gonna get anything good, I better be good, I better act right, I better get it all together, I better act like a good boy, a good girl all of my life. And then when we get saved, we transfer that over to our relationship with God, and we think that God is sitting around checking his list. He's checking it twice. Trying to find out who's naughty and who's nice. And then we think at the end of our life, we stand before God. And he says, Gabriel, give me the list. Naughty, nice. Nice, naughty, 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 nice. Naughty's outweigh the nice. Open the trap door. Whoop. But God gave you the gift of righteousness. He gave you the gift of eternal life. It's God's gift to us. But the key to the change and the transformation, first and foremost, is you've got to receive the gift. Because you can't sit around determining how you gonna be right with God. You gotta receive the gift that He gives to you. You gotta understand that some of you sitting here today, they're still debating in your intellectual mind, what's the difference in Christian religion and the Muslim religion and Judaism and Buddhism, and they all pretty much come down to not doing the same things, and some of them say do this thing. It ain't about what you're doing, it's about the gift.
that Allah has not sent you a gift, that Buddha haven't sent you a gift, that Hinduism isn't giving you a gift. In fact, it's giving you a curse that you can't eat a hamburger because the cow's holy.
That would be a curse to me not to have a Big Mac.
But God, this is not about a religion that God didn't even call Christianity, Christianity. Jesus didn't even call Christianity, Christianity. The apostles wasn't even calling Christianity, Christianity. It's what some people at Antioch saw the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples is what they were called. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they called them Christians, and it was a term of disdain. It was like calling you a Jesus freak. Somewhere down the line, we adopted the name Christianity, and then because of that, the devil made it one of the great world religions. And so, as an American, we love choice, right? So I ought to be able to choose which religion works for me. But in God's kingdom, it doesn't work that way. Through one man, Adam, all of us were born with a sinful nature. How unfair is that? But through one man, we found out we received the gift of righteousness through one. So even though when I was born, I hadn't done anything right or wrong, but I'd already inherited the wrong of another man, even though I have never done enough to be right with God, because of the rightness of the man God, Jesus Christ, I am right with God simply because I received a gift. It's a gift. And Lord knows that we love gifts in America. If in America we don't love nothing more than free stuff. If you ever watched the Ellen show, all Ellen got to do is say, I got a roll of toilet paper for everybody in the audience. The only thing we love more than a free gift is a valuable free gift. If you doubt me, if you doubt the materialism of our nation, just watch the Oprah Winfrey show. And all you got to do is have Oprah talking about some new car, because she did that recently. They have a new car, and she talked about how great the new car is, and then she says, and everybody in the audience is getting one! And see what people do. They don't sit there like y'all sitting there like you swallowed the curtain rod when they find out that they got a free car just because they showed up to the Oprah show. Oh, I got a free car. I seen this one brother that actually got down on the floor and was crying. But then when I tell you that you've got the gift of right standing with God, that you've got the gift of eternal life, most of the time I get this. But if I told you after service I got a gift for everybody in the audience, $1,000, I wouldn't have to tell you to stand up and clap then. Because what that shows us is that we devalue the eternal gift, and we put too much value on temporary things. Is that right? Don't want to bum you out at Christmas because we just supposed to talk about Santa Claus and reindeers and whatnot and trees and wreaths and all the rest of it. And none of that means nothing without Jesus. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior, what you opening gifts for anyhow? Because the gift ought to represent the gift that you opened up in Jesus Christ. And so in our society, our love affair with material things has gone haywire. Just case in point, Black Friday. Isn't that an odd name for the beginning of the Christmas season? Black Friday. You know who probably came out with that name? That poor little teller who's standing there at Walmart with all y'all losing your mind in line. Ah, hurry up. Is it taking this long? I got to get to the other store. The sale. The sale is only till 2 o'clock. And she probably named it Black Friday. I've seen people on the news trampling one another to get in a store to buy stuff on Black Friday. Now, if I asked all of you what you get for Christmas in 2007, most of you can't remember. If I asked you what you got in 2009, half of you probably couldn't remember what you got then. Because the buzz that you got from the new thing wore off because it was a temporary buzz, because material things only are temporary. Jesus said that if do not store up treasures for yourself in this world, because these things would just be destroyed, store up treasure for yourself in heaven, because these things won't be destroyed. The most important things in your life are the eternal things, but we are being duped by the enemy into thinking that the high-def television means everything. Now, I like high-def because I like to see the grass come off of Peyton Manning's cleats and stuff like that on high-definition television, but it doesn't outweigh my relationship with Jesus, because the baby changed everything for me. So Christmas or no Christmas, you're going to go home today and ask yourself, has the baby changed anything whatsoever for you? Did he change the addiction you bound up by? Has the baby changed the multiple divorces you keep having? Has the baby changed the fact that you're still broke? That you're still sick, that you still can't get through life? Has the baby changed anything other than making you come to church on Christmas and Easter? Most of y'all come more than that because you're good Christians. I was watching this show I like. It's called the Antique Road Show. And you know those people will have something that's up in their attic or something like that, been there for generations, or something that they bought for $5 in a garage sale, and then they will eventually look at that thing and think, I wonder if it's worth anything. Then they take it to the appraiser, and the appraiser looks at it, and does a study on it, and comes back and says, you know, and we think it's probably valued at $10,000. And them people go, what? That means, for example, a woman who's a single parent who'd been taking care of her kids and just barely getting by and renting some broke down house and driving some broke down car and going through all kinds of financial issues and troubles, got bill collectors calling left and right. And in her attic was something that could have changed everything because it was worth $10,000, and it didn't change anything for her because she didn't see the value in it. And I submit to you this morning that many of you have gotten saved. You received the gift, but you stuck it up in the attic of your life somewhere and let it collect dust. And the very answer to your problem, the very answer to your issue is in your possession the whole time. But because you devalue the gift that God gave you, nothing changes. Value is the key. If I value my relationship with Jesus Christ, great change can come to my life. Great power can come to my life. A difference can be made through me by God in the world that we live in. You wouldn't have to beg people to come to church if they valued their relationship with God. You wouldn't have to guilt trip people into reading their Bible if they valued their relationship with God. You wouldn't have to beg and cry and snot and spit and try to do everything you can to get people to pray because they value their relationship with God. Don't tell me you valued the gift that God gave you. If you don't spend time with God, you're not in the Word of God, and we got to beg you to come to the house of God. Merry Christmas. The whole point, because this is a bittersweet time of year for me, because I love the tree and the wreath and all that stuff, even though a lot of that stuff rooted in paganism, but we won't get in that because I want to spoil your Christmas. But I get in all that stuff and it's fun and the cookies and the candy and the gifts and all of those wonderful things. But the bottom line is it's bitter to me because I think of so many people who are opening up material things and never receive the gift of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. The most expensive thing that God could have ever given is He gave Himself in the person of Jesus Christ through a virgin named Mary. And year after year, there will be people crowding churches all over the city who normally would never come, who aren't saved and don't get saved because they never received the gift. When the whole point is the gift. And the devil has successfully gotten us sidetracked to all of these other things that have nothing to do with anything. The question you got to ask yourself is, the baby that changed everything changed anything for you? Or is it just another Sunday where you're going to go? But I guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, if I start talking about some money I was going to give you, God help if I told you I was going to give everybody a car or something crazy like that. Wouldn't be a yawn up in here nowhere. And so what we got to ask ourselves is, why do we value these things so much? Because it's the value. You got to value your relationship with God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things, these material things, will be added to you. But seek first, because you seek most diligently after the things you value the most. I don't have to tell you guys and send everybody a mass email to try to get you to watch your favorite show in the week. You're going to do everything that you got to do. You're going to get all the cleaning done, get all of this and that done, get it all arranged so you can be plopped right down there with your Doritos and some Twinkies and whatnot so that you can watch your favorite show. Because you value that show. But why is it that we got to give you coffee and we got to do all kinds of tricks and cartwheels and I got to step here and walk on my hands and all kinds of stuff just to get people to come to church or just to pay attention to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? I value my relationship with God. Let me tell you something. There was a time when Bibles would be in our house and be collecting dust and I didn't even know where they were half the time. Had no value. But then I got saved. And I found out that I received the gift from God, that I have everlasting life, but not only that, that I didn't get a religion like I always thought Christianity was, but I had a real relationship with a real living God, and He started to transform my life, and the same Bibles that collected dust, I dusted all, and I read them like there was no tomorrow from Genesis to Revelation, because I valued the Word of God above anything else. And the bottom line is that anybody sitting here today that values the Word of God is going to sit here and absorb everything that I'm saying, receive what I'm saying, take it home, do something with it. And those of you who don't value the Word of God, I'm not even going to waste my time to try to entertain you, because this is about Jesus. This is not about entertainment. This is not about games. This is not about pet tricks. This is about the gift of God that came to the earth to change the world. So the baby that changed everything, has He changed anything for you? I mean, sometimes listen to a couple, we went somewhere to a banquet or something, and listen to somebody and they was talking about all the stuff they were doing to try to stop their kids from watching Jersey Shore and stuff like that on TV and all the stuff they do to try to stop kids and listen to certain kind of music. And you know, I had enough kids to fight that battle to the place. I was just like, man, whatever. And you say, will you let your kids listen to anything? I ain't say I let my kids do nothing. If I tell them you can't listen to it in here, I might get that. But then soon as they hit the door and go in the hallway of the school and pop their iPod in their ear, they gonna throw Drake on anyhow. Some of you guys, who is Drake? Or whoever. Faith Hill. I don't know. Hey, hey, hey. You never heard that song? When you was living in in sin and didn't have nothing to do with Jesus? Did the club have to call you on the phone and give you all kind of advertisement and flyers and everything imaginable and try to find a way to get you to come to the club? You lined up at the door. You lined up at the door of the club trying to find a way to get in the door. Mad, asking, begging. Some of them won't even let you in. And you're like, but I'm with them. And they said, but they on the list. You're not on the list. And you was all upset because this is the club. I got to get in the club. Some of you went to the club last night. You see, you're looking at me funny. You went to the club. And so why is it that there's only a few churches around the world where people are lined up and trying to break the door down to get in the house of God? Because we don't value the baby that changed everything. Now, this is something we could learn about God from this story also. That the gift that God gave us didn't just show up, but was a baby conceived in the womb of a teenage girl. Now, God could have done anything. He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life in his nostrils, and became a living soul. I imagine he could have just made them show up. Kind of like those State Farm insurance commercials. Have you ever seen that? Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And then the agent, I like the one when they're in the house and the baseball breaks through the window. Y'all seen that one? Just try and keep your attention. And then it breaks through the window and then the guy says, like a good neighbor, State Farm. And then the State Farm agent shows up and he said, wow, the State Farm, you just show up like that? Then he said, yeah, try it. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And a sandwich. Then the sandwich showed up. And then I like the last guy, it's like an old school preacher, and he said, can I get a hot tub? And the hot tub, boom, shows up. I imagine that God could have just made Jesus show up. But he didn't. It had been prophesied about that the Messiah would come by way of a virgin. And that it was already prophesied about that he'd be God in the flesh because he was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Now, we're talking about the God, the creator of all the universe, is going to somehow bring himself into the earth by way of his son, and he does it through Mary. I submit to you that part of the reason that we get so caught up in materialism is because we don't have a purpose. That most of us live our lives just trying to pay the bills. Most of us, biggest goal in life is to retire. That's the biggest goal. That's the goal. One day, boy, we got another 15 years, man. And I'm out of here. I'm out of this hellhole. So, I mean, you just spent your whole life when you was young and attractive and had a six pack and had it going, and you spent all that time doing nothing but waiting till you're old, broke down, decrepit, and can't half walk to be excited because you retired. I'm retired now. Life's just begun. So all of life has been about waiting till you were 65, 70, 75. And the truth be told, because we mismanage our money so bad, by the time you're old enough to qualify for retirement, you still can't because you're too broke. And so that means all of your life has been wasted without purpose. And then the weekend is, well, I read a quote once where a weekend for most people is a small interruption between a week of purposelessness. And the reason we get so wired and fired up about the weekend is that's the only way we can keep our sanity. That's the only way we can forget all the dreams, all of the goals, all of the aspirations that you had in your youth. Because now, if you could just get to the weekend, If you could just, oh, it's Monday. We know that's a horrible day. I got to go to this hellhole. Then come Tuesday, you start to get in the routine a little more. Then come Wednesday, people start going, hump day, George. Yep, hump day, Bob. Hump day, hump day. We're about to get over the hump. Then come Thursday, and everybody's like, one more day, George, one more day, Bob. Then you come in Friday morning. It's Friday, thank God it's for TGIF. That's right, Bob. That's what you gonna do, George? Get drunk and try to forget about life, same as last weekend. And we do that because we don't have any sense of purpose. And my beautiful daughter-in-law there, Addie, got us a subscription to Us Magazine. And so we all been starting to get addicted to what Angelina Jolie doing this week. You know, I had to catch myself because I was like, I wonder what Angelina Jolie, look what she wore on the red carpet. That girlfriend knows she don't need to be wearing nothing like that. And the reason we get caught up in all of that is because we want to live vicariously through them because they have purpose. They have a sense of destiny. They have a sense of excitement. And so all we do with our boring little lives is try to figure out what kind of shoes that the latest star is wearing this week. Who they married to this week? Did they get divorced this week? Scarlett Johansson and her husband are divorcing. Oh my. See, the fact that I know that is. And it's because when you don't feel a sense of purpose, and then I'll mess with guys, because guys we not as big on the red carpet and what somebody wore on the red carpet. Oh, but our hoop dreams and our football dreams and our baseball dreams never die. And so we get jerseys. I got one. A couple of Peyton Manning ones. The visiting one and the home jersey. Both of them. And then you put your jersey on and we do the, got the jersey on today, see? And we put our jersey, yeah. We put our jerseys on and then we sit on the couch with our big old pot belly and we get our popcorn and we start watching T.O. and we start watching Tom Brady and whoever else we watching it. Ah, yeah, touchdown. Now what's he doing? And then all through the week, we discuss with our friends, you know, what they should have done and should have fired the coach and this, because you don't have a purpose. And because when you feel like you don't have a purpose, you got to live vicariously through somebody else. The one thing we love to do is live vicariously through our children. Your dreams died. You didn't have the courage to pursue what you wanted to pursue, so on and so forth. Now your kid has got to get the scholarship that you never got. Now your cute little girl's got to be the cheerleader that you never got to be. And then you go to the basketball games and the coaches dread it because they know you're going to lose your mind. Because they know that you, when it really comes down to it, it ain't about little Joey. It's about you getting your chance to play for the Denver Nuggets. And so soon as little Joey gets fouled, they know you're going to be running on the court. Oh my goodness, are you blind? Are you blind? Do you need a cane? Are you Stevie Wonder? Do you need a Grammy? What's going on? And it's all because you don't have a purpose. And so now your kids have to fulfill your dreams for you and so on and so forth. And what we learn about this story is that God is a God of purpose. And then I read when I said that we receive the gift of righteousness so that we can reign with one, Jesus Christ. He wants us to reign with Him, to participate with Him. There is nothing like feeling like you have a divine calling and purpose from God in the earth, and your talents, your skills, and your ability are all pre-wired by God for you to fulfill His purpose in the earth. Nothing like that changes everything. And so here's Mary, just an average girl. There's nothing extraordinary about Mary? We think so because we see the pictures with the halo, and she got the little Jesus with the halo, and so she seems so spectacular because we see statues of Mary everywhere. But in Mary's day, Mary was a common name. And Mary was just an average girl going to be married to a guy that was a carpenter, which is what teenage girls did then. Probably was prearranged by her parents. And she didn't have any money. She wasn't loaded. And then she even comes from a place called Nazareth, where in the Bible, one of the disciples, I think it was Nathaniel, when he was talking to Nathaniel about Jesus at one time, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth, he said, what good thing could come out of Nazareth? So Mary must have been from the hood or something, I don't know. Because it was like, what good could come out of Nazareth? So God chooses this everyday, average, mundane kind of a girl. That is no, the Bible doesn't talk about how she looks. It doesn't say she's beautiful. The Bible talks about different women like Esther, that she was beautiful, or Sarah, Abraham's wife, was beautiful. It describes Isaac's wife, Rebecca, as beautiful. But it didn't say Mary was beautiful. It didn't say anything. In fact, the Bible went out of its way to de-emphasize anything about Mary or Joseph, because the story wasn't about them. However, the fact that God, if you were choosing, if you were God, and the most important baby that there's ever going to be is going to come into the earth, we'd be looking for some spectacular, important somebody. But God chose an average, everyday girl, and He tells her that He's going to conceive in her womb a virgin, the Son of the living God. And then Mary becomes the most famous woman on the planet. So what it shows us is that usually when we have these conversations, because on the back of the wall it says salvation, transformation, and destiny. Because after you get saved, you should be continually transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you ought to discover some sense of purpose in your life from God. That we're not supposed to just be coming to church, but we're actually supposed to be involved in the increase of God's kingdom on earth. And then when you hear that, you think, me? I'm from Piqua. What good thing ever come out of Piqua? Just a running back for Ohio State. And he had to somewhere in his mind dismiss he from Piqua and figure he could do what he was gifted to do. But usually what hinders the talents and the abilities and the calling that God tries to conceive in us is the crippling doubt and insecurities and fears that we have. Usually rooted in our childhood somewhere, because my daddy abandoned me, or he was at home and didn't tell me that he loved me, and my mama wasn't around, or whatever the situation was. You got picked on in school too much. School teacher in third grade told you that you had a learning disability, or whatever it was. And so now when God comes to you and says, this is my plan and my purpose for you, and He tries to conceive in you a dream and a purpose from Him that you bring forth in the earth that makes the difference, and you hinder the process because you think you're too stupid to go back to school. So this Christmas, when you open in the gift, think about the fact that God wants to bring gifts to the world through you. That He's just not going to do it. He's just not going to change the world independent of you. But He wants to come to you, and He wants to overshadow you with His power, and He wants to conceive within you a dream, a destiny, a purpose, a business, or whatever it is, that when you bring it forth in the earth, it changes everything. So you think to yourself, how could I change the world? God wants to change it through you. The baby that changed everything came through the womb of a little virgin girl named Mary from the hood. Now, if He could use her, what disqualifies you? And then maybe we could live a life, just think of it, where you actually did something with your life that you would do for free. That you actually not looking forward to a weekend or not a weekend because you're doing what you're passionate about. Because you actually feel like you're making a difference in somebody's life or different. For all you know, that business that you think you want to start and you as a young man or a young lady think you're so insignificant, what makes you think you could do something like that? That could be the business that you bring forth that could change the economy in Piqua, Ohio. How do you know it can't? How do you know that the fascination you have with politics isn't because God wants to conceive in you a dream that you could end up being a politician on whatever level that makes policies in line with the Word of God that changes something in your city or your state or your nation or the world? Who knows if the next president of the United States isn't sitting here? Who says it? Bill Clinton was the product of a broken home, and his mother was a single parent, and he became president of the United States of America. Who says that you can't? But if you don't allow yourself to come out of this religious nonsense and tradition and come into a place of such intimacy and power that you are consumed with God to the place He can conceive something in you that you can bring forth to shake the world. I'm just crazy enough to believe since I was a kid that maybe I could do something that made a difference. That maybe if I died, people would notice. Maybe I could see lives change. Maybe I can make a difference in the world. I still believe that. I still believe that there can be a people that enter into this place that can be average, everyday people that the power of God can transform and change, and He could use us to change the city, the state, the nation, and even the world. What made Mary so incredible? So much more spectacular than you or me? Nothing. Now you might be thinking, because I can hear it, that's all great motivating for these young folks. But I'm old. I'm too old to think. Now you're too old to play in the NBA, so just let that one go. But you're too... You're too old for certain things, maybe, but you're not too old for God to conceive in you a dream. Elizabeth, Gabriel said to Mary, that your relative Elizabeth, who was called barren, is pregnant with the child. Jesus said that the child that Elizabeth is pregnant with, that there would be no one greater born of women than that baby. That baby was going to announce the coming of the one that was going to change the world. That he was a harbinger, a forerunner. In ancient times, before a king showed up anywhere, they would send what's called a harbinger, and that person would be sent to the location and to the place to prepare everything for the coming of the king. And so John the Baptist was prophesied as a voice crying in the wilderness. And John the Baptist becomes the greatest prophet that there's ever been, ever going to be. And John the Baptist comes and he starts to say, repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that baby was so significant, he made a pathway for the Son of the living God. Now the woman that God chose was barren when she was young. When you were young, you probably thought, I'm going to be this, I'm going to become that, one day I'm going to. Then you ended up with a couple of baby daddies. Maybe you even took them on the Maury Povich show to prove it. You are the father. When you were younger, you dreamed of doing or accomplishing, of having certain things. But then you got married to somebody and she left you for another guy and you got married and divorced. And now you got half of the custody with these two kids. And now you got a blended family with the two kids with the woman that you married to. And your life is so complicated and chaotic. What could you ever do? When you were young, maybe You could have conceived something, but you didn't because you were barren. Weighed down with the burdens of life. You young people, hear me. If you don't feel a sense of destiny and purpose in your life at the age that you're in, when you're 14, when you're 15, when you're 16 years old, that's the time when the enemy comes to try to destroy your womb to the place that you cannot conceive from God. What do you think is an accident that most kids that grow up going to church, by the time they're adults, have nothing to do with God? You think that's not an attack of the enemy? Why our old selves are sitting up in here trying to preserve tradition and trying to preserve a dress code and trying to preserve all of our religious proclivities and singing songs that make us feel warm and fuzzy, and the youth are sitting there going, I can't wait till I'm 18 and my parents can't tell me what to do. You think that our youth are not aware of the fact that you are one way on Sunday and entirely different the rest of the week? I've done it. I've made mistakes, done stuff in the house, totally contradicts the way I'm acting in public. And your kids see that, they watch that, and they determine that God is not real. But I'm saying to you, if you are a youth under the sound of my voice, it ain't about your mama, it ain't about your daddy, it ain't about your pastor, it's about the baby that could change everything in your life. If you take serious the gift that God has given you, then you can be used by God to make a difference. You think it's an accident that we have a younger generation that listens to music over and over and over and over in your mind about illicit sexuality, about greed, about violence, about all kinds of things contrary to the Word of God, because the enemy is trying to shape you and steer you in a direction that is going to lead your life down the drain just like we went down the drain. But if you got enough sense to take God seriously now, Mary wasn't too young to make a difference. David wasn't too young to make a difference. Samuel wasn't too young to make a difference. There are teenagers around the world set on fire for Jesus Christ as we speak, and it has come time that that fire comes to this city. The problem, like I said, is if we keep feeding them this nonsense religion of Christianity instead of connecting them to a relationship with Jesus. If they don't see the kingdom of God in our house, what makes you think they want to be in His house? Now, I'm talking about myself too, because I've made drastic mistakes as a parent and made been a dismal example at times to my children, but they have also seen the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and they've always been told, you can have a relationship with Jesus. This is not a religion. This is not laws. This is not rules. This is a life-transforming, passionate relationship with a living God, and He wants to use you to change the whole world. This church gonna be built based on that concept, or it's just gonna fall apart. But it's gonna be what it's gonna be. And I don't care if it's 5 or 6 people here. The message coming from this pulpit is gonna be a message that deals with your real deal, down and dirty, everyday real life issues. It's gonna cut through all the tradition and the nonsense, and it's gonna hit you right in your heart, and you're gonna have to deal with it or reject it. But it's gonna be the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ coming from this pulpit and this place as long as I got this microphone and as long as I'm breathing, because it's too late and the time is too short to preach another Christmas message that makes you feel warm and fuzzy so you can go home and come back next year. If you don't come back, you're going to leave with the real message. The baby that was born died on the cross and on the third day rose from the grave, and if you don't receive him, your life is destruction. Elizabeth, this old woman, all her life, she can't even conceive when she's a young woman. And now she's past the age of childbearing. So if you couldn't get pregnant when you were young enough to get pregnant, what makes you think you're going to get pregnant now that you're beyond the age to even get pregnant? It's like God, He purposely chose somebody that it would seem impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. And all things are possible for them that believe. So all God tries to do is find a way to bring His impossibilities into manifestation, and He just looks for somebody that will believe. Not somebody that's going to quote back how stupid they are, quote back how fat they are, quote back how poor they are, quote back how they don't mean nothing and they ain't nothing. What? The greatest power in your life is the power of God's Word, not the word of your daddy, your mama, or your ex-husband. You want to get back at your ex-husband? Stop giving him power over your life because you still bitter after 7 years of divorce. You're still driving by his house. See who there. What God says about you is what matters. And so Elizabeth, all her life, had been called barren. Now that may not mean a whole lot to us right here today, but that in that time period, it was a reproach. A woman was thought to be cursed by God if she couldn't have a baby. And all of her life, she was called barren. Barren was synonymous with her name, Elizabeth, the barren one. She can't have a baby. She can't have a baby for her husband. She can't even have a child. She's barren. She's barren. How many times she tried and couldn't, maybe miscarried or any other number of things because she couldn't have a baby. And she had to live with that reproach until God shows up and says that I'm going to bring a baby into the earth that's going to be the forerunner to my son, Jesus Christ, a baby that's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even when he's in the womb. And guess who I'm going to cause to conceive? It's going to be you, the one who was called barren. You might have been called stupid. You might have been called poor. You might have been sick, called somebody who can never accomplish anything. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has come to break the shackles and bondage of what people have said about you. And now you receive what he says. And I don't care how barren you've been, you'll be somebody who was barren because you can conceive. So just as Mary wasn't too young to conceive, you ain't too old to conceive a dream from God. But religion is unfruitful, so you'll never conceive from practicing a religion. Some of you are still confused. What do you mean, Christianity or religion? Technically, but it isn't. That whole terminology is what caused us to go off track. Some of you are just bent toward religion. And the main emphasis of religion is it never looks for results. It's never about results. You can see page after page in the Bible of changed lives, and you can see all kinds of story about the power of God moving it. You can see all of these things happening, but then when it comes to your life, that's just the fairy tale. And on Sunday, you put on a smile and you play the game and you listen to it and you sing songs and you do all of that nonsense only to come home and not believe anything that was said anyhow. That's the lunacy of religion. Well, I'm one of them guys that, hey, if this ain't real, I'm just going to stay up in the club. That's what I'm going to do. If this ain't real, I just keep smoking the weed. If this ain't real, I just keep hopping in bed with everybody. If this ain't real, I just keep living for the world. If this ain't real, but if it is real, I want it to manifest in my life. I want to see it make a difference, and I want to let somebody else in the world know, I know the gift that has come from God, and that baby can change everything. I've said this before in this church, that two generations were pregnant at the same time, and that's unnatural. Because this young woman is right in her prime. She should be able to conceive. She's doing what's normally done. But Elizabeth, probably at that time, she's old enough to be like her great-grandmama. Now let's just imagine for a moment. If you and your grandmama sitting there pregnant at the same time, would that not be a little odd? Well, this was odd. Because here's this young woman pregnant, and here's this old woman. Probably lost some of her teeth. But pregnant with a great child, with a child that's going to change the world. I'm telling you that this is a time period when two generations, y'all not hearing me, two generations are going to be pregnant at the same time. Two generations are going to be conceiving dreams from God at the same time. And the ones that we older generation, when we bring forth our dream, is going to inspire the younger generation and make a path for them to come through when they bring forth their dream. Your children need to see that God is real and that He can move in your life, and that's what's going to inspire them. And you don't have to live vicariously through your child, because you're going to be like, I applaud you, baby, for what you're doing, but mama still got something to do herself. That's why at this church we got to transcend generations. We got to transcend the barriers that the gaps between generations. The music that comes forth from here has to have a way that it can reach the youth while at the same time not dismissing the older generation. I don't know how it could happen except the Holy Spirit, but it's got to happen. When I preach this word, young people listening, old people listening, black people, white people, it's an anointing. So it's an anointing available in this house to transcend a generational barrier so that we can see two generations pregnant at the same time.
Hallelujah. Two generations. I've seen like no other time before people. Always use Heather Finney, for example, that get to a certain age and you think, well, you know, if I was going to do this, go back to school, should have went then. Then they get to that time in life where maybe, you know, it's too late to be going to school. But that woman didn't just settle for working in a factory, and there's nothing wrong with working in a factory. But for her, she felt that God had called her to something else. And even though she was a little bit older, just a little bit, older than the average student, she decided to go back to school to be a nurse. And as difficult and painful and hard as that was, the Holy Spirit empowered and equipped and enabled her to do it. And now she's a nurse. Steve and Angie Wills back there, I always use them. They're like my prize pupils or something. But they was the time when they're working and doing what they're doing and just trying to get by and so on and so forth. And then when they start cutting back on jobs and hours and stuff like that, their reaction wasn't to curl up in a ball somewhere and cry and whine, but their reaction was, I wonder if I can go back to school now and do what I always wanted to do anyhow. And both of them back up in school getting what they need to get to do what they called to do. Because we always think it's over. And I'm telling you the trick of the devil. He try to get you when you're young so that your life's so complicated by the time you get enough sense in your brain to know what direction you want to go in, your life's so complicated you don't know what to do with it. Am I the only one got a complicated life? That's common. I mean, it used to be a time when you had husband, you had wife, and you had kids, and that might have been even on the surface a lie. Who knows what was all going on, but that was kind of the norm. Now, it's the norm, and we have to deal with it and address it and teach about it to have blended families. And that's complicated, especially this time of year. Who gets the kids for Christmas? I get them for half of the day, you get them for the second half of the day, and then don't mess around and have somebody use their kid as the ploy to cause trouble in your current relationship. I know none of you would do nothing like that. But there are people out there who actually use their kids to cause drama in your new relationship. It's a lot of stuff. And it's complicated like that because when you were young,
when you were young, instead of taking what you had with God seriously, you went the way of the world. Thought like they thought. Functioned like they functioned. Got lured with the glitter and the gold and the glamour of a world system that's demonically inspired to set you up. And by the time your life was so complicated, when I start talking about dreaming again, you like, oh, how am I supposed to do that? If I don't kill my ex-husband, I figure I won. More or less, you talking about starting businesses and whatnot. The gift of God is righteousness, right standing with God. Let's stand together.